Some creeps thrive
on the lone highway.
Pretty girls beware
out on the lone highway. On the lone highway. Little honey on the lone highway. Left me for another on the lone highway. They killed Dirty Dog McGee on the lone highway. Stroked a little girl's hair on the lone highway. On the lone highway. On the lone highway.
Okay, we are back for hour number two of the Scorpio International Holding Company, LLC. I am your host, Dave Scorpio, and I do have a guest for this hour, but before I bring him on, I do want to first give a quick shout out to Amanda out there, very special girl, and I want to remind everyone to please take the time and money to keep RBN on the air. There ain't no free lunch, as they say, and it does take money to keep this station going. And as we all experience the attacks on free speech all over the world, it only makes places like RBN more important and more valuable. So please act accordingly with both your time and money and step up to the plate and keep this bastion of free speech going. And that's it. I would like to bring on my special guest, a return guest, a guy that I've known since about 2008, hard to believe. Steve from the UK is returning. Steve, are you there, sir?
Yes, I am. Can you hear me clearly?
I can indeed, yes.
Excellent. And, okay.
Okay, great. I thought we'd just kick things up. I just want to get your kind of input on some of the things that we're covering in the show today. And you know, I kind of ended the show talking about this Hebrew Immigration Aid Society. That's what HIAS stands for, Hebrew Immigration Aid Society, Andrew Mayorkas, Alejandro Mayorkas, is a board member. And all this agency really does is or this aid society help bring illegal aliens into the country, and working with Jewish Family Services and the Catholic Church. So, Steve, just about that, just what are your thoughts on the fact that they bring a board member from a group that sole function is to bring in illegal aliens, to house them and give them, you know, money and jobs? How do you explain this? Why? How did they get Alejandro Mayorkas as head of the Homeland Security? And of course, he just happens to be Jewish, Steve, just by chance.
Yeah. Well, one, we have a Bolshevik coup with Biden and an outright Jewish tyranny. But I think you touched the point with AIPAC and the control that AIPAC has upon policies that get through and who gets to sit on what committee, how much money is allocated from that committee, like bidding contracts. And so it's a feeding trough, and AIPAC is essentially controlling a feeding trough. I think that's what it's about. JFK, one of the reasons JFK, I think, got bumped off was because he wanted to register AIPAC as a on the register of foreign agents. I think if he'd have done that, maybe things could have taken a different path, and maybe we wouldn't have lost to absolute Jewish control of Congress. But I think that AIPAC was created for that purpose, to select and polarize the political establishment in America as pro and anti-Zionist, Jewish Zionist. And once they'd done that, to deselect using money and finance all the candidates who are against them. and to incentivize with lots of printed money, magic shekels, all those people who are willing to sell their consciousness for short-term gain and for a pro-Israel expansionist agenda. I think that from the off, that's what AIPAC was designed to do. And JFK got in the way of that long-term plan, and that's why he had to go.
Yeah, you know, it's really amazing how many different groups JFK pissed off at the same time. You know, you've got the Texas oil cartel crew, because he was going to take he actually took away their oil subsidies, said you can't, we're not going to give you tax breaks when you're already making, you know, billions of dollars in the oil business. That's not acceptable. Of course, he printed banknotes that were not Federal Reserve banknotes, a small number, but he started doing it. And that, of course, would have led to the loss of control over the money supply by the Federal Reserve System. And, of course, this Vietnam, he wanted in that, he openly said on multiple occasions that he wanted to smash the CIA into 1,000 pieces and cast it into the wind. And, of course, he was dead set against Israel getting nuclear weapons. And, you know, the book by Michael Collins Piper, Final Judgment, really details this in great detail. Excellent and worth reading. So, yeah, it's amazing how many different groups this guy had after him all at the same time. Even the mafia, too, was angry at him, of course, because of his brother's activities.
Yeah, and I think maybe that was kind of where we departed from America being, quote-unquote, sovereign and free, the last vestiges of. And we moved forward into an ever-worsening Jewish tyranny through the Hegelian dialectic of the Cold War. And we, I think, are on the other side of that now, where we're suffering the consequences. They've fulfilled their plan of taking over America, establishing the US dollar as a fiat useless currency and a world hegemon, able to use that same money to give to Israel whatever they want, to take some of that money and to pay off the politicians at home because it's so corrupt. And essentially, they've created and made a gravy train, a parasitic egregore on the American nation. And they're parasiting on the US dollar and stealing vampirically their purchasing value, which is financing all their operations abroad. Because without that finance, the Jews are tiny and they're puny. Even with their armed forces at the moment, they're totally overrated. They're getting hammered, but they've got the finance to hire mercenaries and proxies like America and the UK and others.
Absolutely. Yeah. It's a good point. Without the money control, they get shrunk down to what they really are.
Can I just comment on that, Scorpio?
Absolutely. Go ahead.
Well, you mentioned about Israel and its funding. Now, in the latest bill that was presented to the senators, $60 billion was assigned to Ukraine, and they were claiming $14 billion for Israel with another $20 billion for border security. But it's almost with the Biden regime, there's a split between Trump and Biden. There's those who want to go like the Chabad route, maybe, and they're much more interested in the international revolution, international predatory capital, endless forever foreign wars, establishing the US currency as the world's global reserve currency, the digital dollar. And then the other sort of view within Judaism, more Netanyahu, perhaps even Rothschild, is the more messianic view. This is where you're getting the Israeli expansionism. Now, normally the two sides kind of work together because they're not necessarily opposed. Jewish expansionism in Israel and the global expansion of Jewish power abroad via currencies and usury. But the dichotomy is kind of breached when we have things like the Gaza War, where you quite rightly pointed out famine. There's loads of people without any fresh water. They're drinking rainwater. They don't have any electricity. So I think fridge freezers. And they're relying on these dry packeted foods dropped from the sky, apparently killing a few of them as it lands on top of them. The Jews are artillerying any trucks going through. Out there, say so. And now they're talking about definitely for an operation on Rafah and clearing them all out. And so the dichotomy is it becomes bad optics in a way, and to a point where we're even seeing Tucker questioning what are we getting for all this foreign aid to Israel. If you see Tucker Carlson mentioning that, you can see that their liability. Chuck Schumer and Biden and others are turning on Netanyahu and are trying to like express American Democrat power over Israel to sort of ease off on the genocide, because if the Jews continue with this, it makes any public support for them in the future irreversible and unsupportable. Once you've killed them all, once you move them all out, you can't really undo that. What Palestinian cause is there if there's no Palestinians in Palestine?
Good point.
So I'm looking at the funding of $60 billion to Ukraine and $14 billion for Israel. And I just wanted to touch for people to keep an eye on the competition between Zelensky and Netanyahu for that funding, almost like a rival cartel. And I think really that perhaps Ukraine and Israel represent two slightly differing viewpoints within Judaism's world domination plan. So I just wanted to give you some numbers there.
No, that's a very good point. And I do think they're competitors to some degree because, you know, I've said since the beginning of this conflict in Ukraine that part of the motivation of this is sort of a backup Israel, an Israel 2.0. And the hardcore Zionists in Israel don't want to have a backup plan. They want to, you know, die on that hill no matter what. So I do think there's a certain degree of competition going on there. And Odessa is set to be sort of the focal point of power of this new state.
I would like to talk about that. Yeah, absolutely, Odessa, particularly with Macron. But if we can just talk about, just for finish off the point with the magic shekels. The IMF, I've got an article on the IMF News, I think it's March 21st. It talks about how they've given $880 million to Ukraine in regime support or budget support funding. So the IMF is giving Ukraine free money now, the IMF. So the Jews don't just operate within, say, a US framework. They also operate within a UN framework to monetize free dollars to then give away to Ukraine.
Wait a minute. Not to interrupt you, Steve, but you're saying that the IMF is giving the money? It's not a loan?
No, I think it's a grant, yeah, budgetary support.
Well, I've never heard. There's no other country they do that to. All the rest of the loans of the money are all loans, and there's a lot of contingencies surrounding that money. One of them is, you know, following all WHO health directives. Pledging a degree of natural resources as collateral if the loan can't be paid.
Do you want me to read it to you? I'll read it to you.
Absolutely, please.
Maybe it is a loan. The IMF board today completed the third review, this is March 21st, of the extended arrangement under the Extended Fund Facility, the EFF, for Ukraine, allowing the authorities to draw the equivalent of $880 million, which can be channeled for budget support. The authorities continue to perform strongly under the EFF under challenging conditions, meeting all but one quantitative performance criteria for end December. All structural benchmarks through end February are all indicative targets. The Ukraine economy continued to show remarkable resilience in 2023, although war-related headwinds are re-emerging and the outlook remains subject to exceptionally high uncertainty, i.e. they're losing. Sustained reform momentum to necessary to safeguard macroeconomic stability, which they don't have because they're getting bombed for. Restore fiscal and debt sustainability, enhance institutional reforms, and lay the groundwork for reconstruction efforts and a path to EU accession. So one of the things that I want to point out here, Scorpio, is They're using the IMF money to change the laws in the country in crisis, like Ukraine, but it could be any country. So they now got to be part of the EU, regardless of what the Ukrainians vote for. And bear in mind, there's no elections under Zelensky at the moment. So no Ukrainian has got a decision on whether they join the EU, number one. And that's purely down to the IMF as a condition of that money. The other thing they've got in Ukraine is that Zelensky's passed a law against anti-Semitism. So it's legal to be, quote-unquote, anti-Semitic in Ukraine, or you get a jail sentence.
Wow. And, you know, if you study the history of Ukraine, Ukraine actually has a long history of so-called anti-Semitism going way back. And, of course, Zelensky also passed a gay marriage law. A strange thing to do in the middle of an existential war, you know, you've got time to worry about gay marriage? That's odd. And, of course, the other thing Zelensky did is he shut down all of the opposing political parties, neutered them, essentially, and shut down all of the media outlets that were critical of him. So that's democracy for you there, Steve.
Well, I think the IMF is going to be used. So we get all these politicians like Trudeau and Rishi Sunak to crash the currencies, have this crisis, and then they'll be asking for IMF bailouts left, right, and center. And one of the conditions of these IMF bailouts will be social policy conditions, one of which will be the anti-Semitism laws, I bet you. So I'm willing to roll a dice here and say these new global anti-Semitism laws, which be rolled out to every state in financial trouble, you won't be able to criticize the Jews as responsible for the financial crisis in your particular country because your country's passed anti-Semitism laws to get IMF money.
That's really interesting. And this touches upon a real method of control that's used. Of course, as I said, a lot of these loans have also the stipulation that if to get this loan, you have to follow all IMF or WHO health mandates. This is how they managed to shoehorn COVID into many countries in the globe because they were under duress from these loans. And of course, once they get their claws in your economy through these loans, the natural resources always come up for sale eventually because the loans can't be paid back. It's impossible. And, you know, Ecuador, when I was living there, signed a $4 billion loan. And then literally days later, they kicked Julian Assange out of the embassy in London, the Ecuadorian embassy. So a lot of that wasn't in any paperwork, I'm sure, but I'm sure phone calls were made like, hey, you want this money? Assange has got to go. So it's just another method of control that's not talked about very often, but it's very effective because you get these to get this loan money. Now you're throwing in this idea of you can't criticize Jews. We have anti-Semitism laws connected to these loans as well. Very interesting.
Well, let me give you a concrete example. So I want to point to Canada and Bill C-63, which is called the Canada Hate Bill. It comes in two parts. And the first part is buried in Bill C-63, states, everyone who commits an offence under this Act or any other Act of Parliament, if the commission of the offence is motivated by hatred based on race, national or ethnic origin, language, colour, religion, think Judaism, sex, age, mental or physical disability, like trannies, sexual orientation or gender identity or spread expression. So if you don't date a tranny, you're committing hate speech. Is guilty of an indictable offence and liable to imprisonment for life. I'm going to repeat that. Imprisonment for life. If you are found guilty of hate speech in Canada, along the parameters I've just outlined in that statute, you will be imprisoned for life. Now it gets better. This will all be because the Jews and money will be buying this policy, like the IMF. The new law will also offer cash bribes to members of the public anonymously snitching on their fellow citizens for committing hate. The bill states, C-63 bill, allows someone to make a complaint of a discrimination anonymously. If that hateful complaint is found legitimate, a maximum of $20,000 goes to that person. A whole industry.
Oh, yeah.
Persecution industry is being set up in Canada. Rather than dealing with the economic woes which they have caused and not Russia.
Very good point, Steve. We're uncovering some dark truths here. And we've got the music coming up, so we're on the break. We're just getting started, guys. We got a lot more to talk about. So everyone, stay tuned.
Charles de Gaulle once said, actually, it's difficult to envision in this regard any other criterion, any other standard than gold. Yes, gold, which does not change in nature, which can be made into either bars, ingots, or coins, which has no nationality, and which is considered in all places and all times the immutable and fiduciary value par excellence. So when the question is, why gold? It's simple, my friends. The answer to that question is simply, why not? Like it or not, precious metals will always be the world's reserve currency. Even though nations do not define their currency by their worth in, say, gold, individuals still buy gold and silver to protect themselves from inflation. The more money a nation's central bank pours into the economy, the less valuable its currency, the dollar is, which means the price of everything else rises. $21 up for a bag of dog food. Seeing that the dollar is cheap, that's why the cost of everything goes up. It's because of the buying power, the value of the dollar has tanked. It's worth nothing. And yet gold that your family would have owned in 1907 will buy at least the same amount of goods, if not far more. William McPhee once stated, it's extraordinary how many emotional storms one may weather in safety if one is ballasted with ever so little gold. The truth about money, gold versus cash in a crisis. Gold, a valuable thing to store. The power of gold in times of crisis. Historical sketch of paper currency. Oh, and beware the ides of rare coin dealers. And Alan Greenspan's speech on gold and economic freedom. How interesting. I'm going to give you gold and silver in 5 easy lessons. Seeking out the most efficient and most secure route to owning gold and converting it into widely accepted currency is the next best thing to enjoying gold-backed currency, my friends. In a world of central bankers hell-bent on devaluing our savings, you need to own private gold standard. Contact me, Jeffrey Bennett at Kettle Moraine Limited, by calling our phone number at 602-799-8214. That's 602-799-8214.
Hey there, are you going to wait till the cows come home to get your new Ease-Off drop-in lift?
What in the world is an Ease-Off drop-in lift?
Our Ease-Off is a new tool to increase production for your meat processing company that will get that whole hog or half a beef on or off your rail with our remote control.
That sounds great, but can I afford it?
Sure, and the Ease-Off installs fast. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue, speed up your line, and increase profits.
Okay, I'm convinced. Where can I get my Ease-Off?
Go to easeoff.com. That's EAZEOFF.com. And hurry, because we're offering free shipping for a limited time. Easeoff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too.
Ease-Off, LLC, 417-932-6419.
We are in a Gotta Davida back, guys. And this is your host, Dave Scorpio. And I'm talking with Steve from the UK. And this information about the IMF and the methods of control that are used. And now you're bringing a new element, this idea of actual you know, laws against anti-Semitism, or just pointing out who's behind the problems. It's not, you can blame Russia all you want, you can blame China all you want, not a problem, even though there isn't much evidence to support any of that. But if you start talking about who's actually behind this, then you can actually end up in jail. Now, was this actually passed, or is this due to be passed? What's the status of it?
Not sure. I'd have to look into it deeper. I've just found out today.
Right. Yeah. And of course, it's a double-edged sword, because once they start locking people up for long, lengthy prison terms, it's a double-edged sword, because the thin veneer of democracy, the mask starts to slip off, and it gets harder and harder to say we live in a democracy as your jails fill up with political prisoners. So it is a double-edged sword in that respect. Wouldn't you agree?
Yeah. And another thing regarding the dichotomy in Judaism is whether they want World War III or not. So the more messianic may want that, in particular in Israel. But if you're like a large transnational family office making loads of money off the Ukraine war racket, sure, it's all the weapons Ukraine is spending that money on are all American arms companies. So I think there's a lot of parameters locked into this money laundering. And maybe you kind of want to keep the situation where you're making money, but for this strategy of constant tension, but you're not actually launching nuclear weapons. Now, the thing is, I want to move on, Scorpio, to something that's quite important.
Yes.
Was back to Ukraine and your point about the French. Now, the French have spent about a week trying to spearhead the notion of Western or European forces entering into Ukraine, and Macron mentioned the French going into Odessa. Bear in mind, Macron is an ex-Rothschild banker. He worked for them before he became prime minister or president.
Yes, absolutely. An errand boy for the Rothschilds.
Yes, so we have to ask the question, why do they want Odessa? So why is the front man getting Odessa? Well, I think there's a few reasons. One is they don't want Ukraine to be landlocked. If it's landlocked, there's no excuse for them to have those offshore gas deposits in the Black Sea off the Crimean coast and the Kherson region. So that's number one. That's what Biden, essentially, and Hunter Biden were after, besides the agriculture, I guess, was the gas contracts and the transit fees from Russian gas. And then I think also they wanted to build what Zelensky was calling the multicultural society in Ukraine. So they had an idea before they were intercepted by Putin to launch a war into the Donbass, take it over, and form Khazaria 2.0. That was the project for the new Khazarian century right there. That's probably what Victoria Nuland was shooting for. But Putin wasn't having any of that because he didn't want the Polish border with NATO be moved to the border of Russia. So it's all about Odessa because it landlocks Ukraine, gives them access to gas, and it establishes the Jewish homeland with Odessa as its capital, and that's why Macron is going there.
Absolutely.
And I think everybody's that I know, all the mappers, they think we're moving into World War III, and it's becoming inevitable between, first of all, French forces and Ukraine, and now they have Polish and German forces in Chersky, south of Kiev.
Okay, we're at the break, the final break of the show, Steve. Let's touch upon that when we get back. Everyone, stay tuned. We will be right back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Find your inner rebel at Dixie Republic, the world's largest Confederate store, located in Travelers Rest, South Carolina. The anti-white,
anti-Christ, anti-Southern world ends at the asphalt. Welcome to God's country. Log on to DixieRepublic.com to view our Southern merchandise, from flags to t-shirts to artwork. At the store, browse through our extensive collection of belt buckles and have a custom-made leather belt handcrafted in our Johnny Reb's Gun and Leather Shop. That's DixieRepublic.com, where you can meet all of your Southern needs.
Support those that support the network. Support Dixie Republic at DixieRepublic.com. Email ProudSouthern123@gmail.com and let them know that RBN sent you.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home.
Email tom@republicbroadcasting.org. tom@republicbroadcasting.org.
Have you been looking for a trusted long-term storable food company? We have a solution for you. Simply Clean Foods is dedicated to providing the best quality food you can buy next to fresh from a farmer's market. Our line of resealable fruits, vegetables, and meats are suitable for everyday use, and you won't have to worry about throwing away valuable groceries ever again. Our food is completely GMO-free, and our stringent quality controls, plus testing for heavy metals, makes us unique in the storable foods market. Simply Clean Foods' primary focus is to bring clean food to people all around the world and change the way we look at freeze-dried food in our daily cooking. When you purchase from Simply Clean Foods, not only will you be receiving high-quality food, but you will also be supporting veterans in need across the country and those who are affected by natural disasters.
Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on long-term food storage in the rotating sponsors banners to support RBN.
Simply Clean Foods. Do it today.
Return from our final break for this episode of the Scorpio International Holding Company. And I'm here talking with Steve from the UK. And of course, I am your host, Dave Scorpio. And Steve, right before the break, you were touching upon foreign troops in Ukraine. And, yes. You know, one thing that's kind of interesting about this war is that a lot of actual footage, live footage, is being broadcast and making its way onto various platforms. And I've actually seen footage of so-called Ukrainian soldiers who were speaking perfect English with no accent. So it's long been rumored that there's also American special forces there as well with Ukrainian uniforms on, which of course is illegal, not that that matters.
Yes, and the public don't know. So what I'm telling you is what I've been hearing from the Russian intelligence on the ground, and it's commonly known because the people around there are reporting where they're living, where they've actually set up their quarters, which is Chersky, south of Kiev. That's Polish, German, and French troops. There's already British troops there who are manning the Storm Shadow missiles. So we have four powers already in there. Now, just to quote Serbia's President Vučić today, following the terrorist attack in Moscow, there is no doubt that there will be a further escalation of the conflict in Ukraine. With it, approaching a general war. Now, I'm inclined to agree with that because we have Western NATO powers in Ukraine now. They haven't told the public, they're bullet magnets, and their job is to essentially try and secure the line east of the Dnieper, sorry, west of the Dnieper, and to stop Ukraine being landlocked so Western NATO naval assets cannot make their way through Turkey doing a backstab into the Black Sea, Turkey being a NATO power, and having a wider war. And I think the neocons are gunning for that. I think Victoria Nuland is trying to get a war started between Russia and Europe, with America sitting on the sidelines. That was the project of the neocons. And then through that destruction of each other, they could obviously replace all in white Holocaust and what I'm calling the new Passover of all white people in Europe. You're all dead by the immigrants. And at the same time, balkanize Russia and use those assets in a newly balkanized Russia to inject value into the US dollar, provided, obviously, it modifies its demographics as to what the Ukrainian project under Zelensky has become, which is a debauched criminal paradise for Jews.
Yes. Those are great points, Stephen. I think that's a very believable scenario you just sketched out there. And I'm curious what your take is on this terrorist attack in Moscow. The idea that ISIS suddenly gets involved, you know, it fits the American narrative perfectly because we've got an Islamic terrorist group that's behind it, which sort of casts a dark shadow over Gaza and the Palestinians just by association. But it's not believable. I mean, why would that happen now? Of course, Ukraine has a very good reason to orchestrate such an attack. And as I pointed out on the show, John Kirby, just a few weeks back or a week ago or so, actually warned Americans in Moscow not to go to malls or attend any events with large groups of people. So he obviously knew something was coming. Victoria Nuland said that Russia will be in for a nasty surprise later this year. Victoria Noodleman. So what's your take on this and terror attack and how it relates to the war in Ukraine?
I think that, one, it's a distraction. It's a distraction from the facts on the ground, like the defense lines have been broken today at Bakhmut. They've lost west of Bakhmut, Ivaniske. They've lost at a defense line in Avdiivka, west of Avdiivka. So they can't stabilize the front lines. You can no matter how much money you send into Ukraine, you're not going to be able to stop the Russians. They're rolling up as we speak. So this, along with the Belgorod attack, with some context, was to change the attention away from the front lines to try and score a public media victory. Unusually, these terrorists tried to escape. Now, the MO with ISIS is that they don't try and escape. They just fight to the death and blow themselves up.
Right, good point.
So there's some anomalies with this. It's almost as if it was a Jewish... some of the terrorists were claiming that they were paid to do this, so for an advance of 250,000 rubles, which doesn't seem a lot of money, to be fair. I don't know how true.
$5,000, right?
Yeah, I mean, well, the Russians obviously not just beating them up, but chopping their ears off. I watched the Russians chop an ear off one of them.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, and they're saying that there's 147 dead in that constant hole now, the Russians. But then after he chopped his ear off and made him eat it, he gave away all his accomplices and they've rounded them all up. So all of them got arrested. And they have the evidence for that. Now, as far as the network goes, they're saying it's Tajiks and they're trying to make it out it's ISIS and it's Muslims. Maybe it was, but I think they were paid. I think the Americans, didn't Hillary Clinton say that we created ISIS? I'm willing to believe her, and I think she worked with Mossad to do that. And I think they've been paying ISIS to go fight Israel's enemies.
Yeah, I think so. And I saw that same footage you're talking about, and they didn't look like your traditional, let's say, ISIS terrorist. They had a very different look to them. And yeah, I think you're bringing out some great points, Steve. There's no benefit for this to be anyone other than Ukraine. Ukraine and America has great interest in this.
I disagree. It has great benefit, Scorpio. It has great benefit to those who want to get a war started.
Oh, yes. You know, I mean to like, why would ISIS get involved in this now? There's no, after years of really not doing anything, and Russia stopped ISIS or had an effect on ISIS in Syria, but that was years ago. Why would they do it now, I guess is my point.
Yeah, and apparently the instructions were sequential, so they didn't actually know what they were doing right up until the last moment, these people. So these people were automatons, a golem, and they were saying they were acting for money, but ISIS is just a revenue generation exercise. I've had a look at some of their manuals and over the years having studied them, and a lot of what they do, their activities, is towards acquiring resources, you know, robbing banks, finding gold, selling slaves, you name it. It's all about gaining resources, because resources buy weapons and ammunition. And that's hard currency out there. So I don't find it implausible that extremely rich Jewish family offices can approach these terrorist organizations and then say, name your price.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, and you know we know that Jews have, you know, dressed up like Arabs, pretended to be Arabs. The Sephardic Jews can pass for one very easily. And they've caught, you know, Jews and these Islamic terrorist groups more than one time. Of course, the Levant affair is an example of Jews dressing up like Arabs and blaming the Arabs for it. So this is a long history of this sort of activity. And it really does sort of, the timing of it's awfully convenient. And of course, it's very odd that these people were heading towards the Ukrainian border. That's really strange. If they weren't, you know, how would they know that they'd be safe there?
Yeah, and I think we also must factor in election cycles. So this was just after a presidential election with a Putin win of apparently 87% with a record turnout. And when we're looking at the U.S. election cycle, this is Biden's war. We see Nuland depart. Maybe if they can't actually stop what's going on, maybe if they can't get this European consensus for conscription and to get a full war going with Europe and Russia defending Ukraine, then they might try and pull the plug on Biden. And in the next election cycle, we have a Trump where we're going to be much more Israel focused, aren't we, rather than Ukraine, and we could see the end of the Ukraine project and Russians get whatever they want. But they won't in terms of Israel and Gaza and what's happening in Gaza. And if I just look at my notes here, Jared Kushner was talking today about the clearing out of the Palestinians from Gaza and presumably the West Bank, which might explain why he was there with Ivanka Trump through the ruins of northern Gaza a couple of months ago. So him and the extreme right of Israel, which seem to be in the ascendancy and dominant, are pushing for the elimination of the Palestinians from Gaza. There is going to be no two-state solution. I don't see it happening. I don't see the Americans using Chuck Schumer to leverage the whole Mossad state. I don't see that happening. They're going to get their way, which means they're going to go for the total Palestinian genocide. And that might require the removal of Joe Biden.
Yeah, because the Democrats do have to, at the very least, pretend to appease their base, which is really, really turning on them. To their credit, in all honesty, the left has really turned on this entire genocide project, essentially. And the so-called right, the kosher conservatives, have doubled down in support of it. And I've said since the beginning of this that there is no true conservative movement in America. It's all kosher conservatism, pretending to be America first, pretending to care about America. But when you scratch the surface, they're really all about Israel when it comes right down to it, Steve.
Yeah, and if I can also like maybe point some people who I think are working with Israel, like Elon Musk.
Yes, and please do.
Yeah, and one of the things, I think they don't want war just yet because they've got a piece of infrastructure they want. And Elon Musk is providing this infrastructure. Like, for example, Starlink is the basis of command and control of the Ukrainian forces at the moment. And when they lose that, they take very heavy casualties because they just disintegrate without it. A lot of their underwater drones and some of their heavy Baba Yagas also have a Starlink terminal bolted on. But he's now talking about something called Starshield. So I want to introduce to the RBN listener Elon Musk's project Starshield, which is developing a network of spy satellites, which will consist of large satellites with powerful imaging sensors. Starshield relay satellites will transmit imagery and communications data through the network via inter-satellite laser links, lasers. Now, with the combination of Starlink and Starshield image sensors, I believe it's not just a complete global surveillance grid made manifest thanks to Elon Musk, who'll be giving the keys to Mossad. I want to let the Americans know this. And it will also be used militarily for targeting data for missiles. So you can remote target and you just have a satellite image. Oh, we have a really powerful sensor which can read your license plate on the car. You're at X GPS location. We'll send off some munitions towards you. I think that's what it's going to be used for, to fight a global war where they own space. They neutralize any other country's ability to have anything in space. So think Iran and North Korea. Never mind the Chinese and the Russians. And they will have Starlink and Starshield to then have this basis for a global war, what they keep talking about with China. Now, at the moment, I think they're puny. I think it's ludicrous. But perhaps they're putting in the fundamentals where you don't need armies anymore. You just need missiles and tactical nukes. Weapons of mass destruction. Yeah, drones, absolutely. So I just want to introduce the listener to Elon Musk's Starshield and how that's going to be working for the Jews for the surveillance grid and the full spectrum dominance plan for World War III.
No, that's a great point, Steve. And I'm really amazed at how many people in the alternative media seem to think that Elon Musk is some kind of, you know, savior. These are usually the same people that think Trump is a wonderful guy. But here, you just look at, you know, Elon Musk wants to use these essentially a way to leak directly into your mind with, technology, this electric car scam. He's had neck high in that. And the idea that we're going to go to Mars with Elon Musk, you know, he's hooked into the deep state military industrial space complex when we can't even get a rover to land onto Mars without some kind of problem. I'm sorry, on the moon, but we're going to send humans to Mars in, like, I think they're saying 2028 or something like that with Elon Musk. And, you know, a lot of the footage of his rockets coming back down, there's a lot of odd glitches in those videos that to me don't look quite right.
He's talking because he wants to build a base on the moon. And whilst I believe you can get satellites through the Van Allen radiation belts, I don't believe you can get organic material through them, and certainly not unless you're in a coffin of 6 foot of lead. And maybe, I guess, if you're a higher speed, so you're in the, you're getting less rads as you're going through the Van Allen radiation belts. But according to the standard speeds that they're using at the moment, especially when they were traversing the moon, they have lethal doses of rads. So if someone yet to explain to me how any form of shuttle, be it Elon Musk's or the Challenger, is able to get through the Van Allen radiation belts to the moon with human beings, not unless they're encased in a lead tomb.
Yeah. Yeah, and, you know, I think you're right. I'm very dubious that they can get a human being through the Van Allen belt. And, you know, there's actually, there used to be actual, you know, audio of the Russian cosmonaut dying as they tried to pass him through the Van Allen belt, just frying in there. So that's very dubious. And you know, Elon Musk's whole history doesn't really add up very well. That he's the richest man in the world. It's kind of like, where did all that money come from? Tesla's never made money. So he's lost money in actuality. It's kind of like Jeffrey Epstein. No one could really explain where he got his $1 billion from.
He's a salesman. They're both salesmen.
Yes. Yes. And their life stories don't really add up. And I've pointed out multiple times that Elon Musk's maternal grandfather was the founder of the technocracy movement in Canada. And they were actually sort of exiled into South Africa. That's how the Musks end up in South Africa, because at the time, Canada had at least some semblance of a government that didn't want interference. And they basically kicked his grandfather out of the country.
I think Ghislaine Maxwell commented on Epstein. She said, what they specialize in, Scorpio, is giving billionaires what they want.
Absolutely. Yeah, that's true. And, Les Wexman apparently sold Epstein his mansion in New York City for $1. Les Wexner. There's a lot of odd, for a businessman to do that doesn't make a lot of sense. And it's just sort of this strange story of Epstein and Musk. They're where does all this money come from? I think these are front men as well. These are front men. They're given the money by this cartel, this cabal, and they're allowed to spend part of it. But at their death, it all goes back to the cartel. This is an old game, and that book, the Great Red Dragon, talks about this game, and that goes back to 1897. So I think we've got these front men who aren't what they appear to be.
They're front men for Murder Incorporated.
Yes. Yes, very well said.
And when we look at who's got power, I guess, like the power behind the bankers, it's the people, what the Jews would say, the butcher. The people, when you pay the butcher, he's the hitman, he's the bagman. So the family offices are stealing value and paying these people. But we have to look at the bagmen, who's actually doing the killing. And it seems to me, organizations like the CIA have been formed for the express purpose of committing organized crime abroad, but because it's not happening at home, it's not illegal. So you can be busy like the CIA making enemies for America as long as he makes money. Hence all these foreign wars, civil disturbances. I mean, the Lord of War, Victor Bout, talked about this. How they'd finance both sides, and he would sell money to both sides because they're buying his weapons. And I think a lot of that goes on. But these organizations, MI6 is another one. They're just there to represent and kill for the family offices and the money power. That's ultimately what it boils down to.
Yeah, I think these intelligence agencies really are de facto are private armies and mercenary intelligence agencies for the bankers.
Yes, that's exactly what they are, private armies. Thank you. That's a good way of putting it. In a way, I said that NATO is Rothschild's private army.
Absolutely. And so you think they're – how would they actually get NATO directly involved in this conflict? What do you think the method they'll use to do that? Because they can't legally allow Ukraine to join NATO while they're in a conflict, number one. And they don't meet any of the standards to join NATO, not financially, militarily, nothing. So how do you see them getting around all this?
I don't. I think they're making up as they go along in the face of a defeat. I think they actually thought they could defeat the Russians economically at first. And then that didn't happen. And then they ran with the American Victoria Nuland ball. And they started throwing money and monetizing loads of debt, hence all the incoming inflation that we haven't talked about yet. in this project that they thought they could militarily beat the Russians, and that the Russians were stealing washing machines for chips and fighting with shovels. It's all nonsense. They're a near-peer adversary with a high-productive war economy. They were told to build weapons just to counter American ones, and it worked out very fine for them. They've built two whole new armies, the Russians, which has got to be around 600,000 men. And they're going to mobilize more, so this attack in Moscow is going to allow mobilization for Putin. It's going to get him another 800,000 men in addition to his 1.2 million. That's 2 million men, all heavily armed, all decently trained, with at least a year's worth of training just behind the front lines.
So feminized, a very masculine, let's say, culture within their armed services.
But they want revenge.
Yes. Yeah, because they're actually fighting for something. This is right at their back door, their backyard, so to speak. We're almost at the top of the hour, Steve. Why don't you tell the listeners, where can they hear your material, your table talks? What's the best way for people to see your information and hear it?
I have my own Telegram group, which is UK Steve Table Talk. And I have a table talk every Wednesday at 8 p.m. GMT. And I also have my own website, leadsdepartment.com, where I dump my table talks onto the website I've just built. So you can go to leadsdepartment.com and UK Steve Table Talk, which is what I'm more known for. And hopefully I'll see you there.
Absolutely. We'll do a show there soon. Could you spell out your website so people know what it's hard to hear.
Leeds Department. So LEEDS department.com.
Okay, great. And Steve, what's the final thought you want to leave us with as we come to the close of the hour?
Stay free, be brave, and prepare, because I think they're trying to move us into World War III before the next election cycle.
Okay, that's good advice and food for thought. That's it. We've gone through another 2 hours down the chute with the Scorpio International Holding Company, LLC. Thanks for listening, and until next week, take care. Thanks for coming on, Steve. I appreciate it, man. Okay, bye-bye, guys. Take care.
Trust anyone on the lone highway, on the lone highway, the lone highway, the lone highway, on the lone highway, the lone highway, the lone highway, the lone highway.
One of the millions of people who feel like there is a dark cloud hanging over their heads whenever they're using pharmaceutical drugs. For some, the short-term relief can turn into an opioid addiction nightmare. Have you ever wondered why CBD oil is a billion-dollar industry? It's because it works better than opioids and is actually healthy for you. However, CBD oil is stripped of all other helpful compounds found in the hemp plant. According to neuroscientists, the whole hemp plant, otherwise known as hemp paste, is even more effective than the chemically processed CBD oil. Are you ready to take back your health? You can try hemp paste for the price of a cup of coffee.
Hemppaste.com/RBN. Free shipping on orders over $50. See the banners for Hemp Paste at republicbroadcasting.org and visit hemppaste.com/RBN.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.